Well, good evening. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm honored to be here, and I'm excited to be with all you ladies this weekend. And I don't even need to say it, but I will, but you know, this is sort of blocking, right? Okay. We'll get up. Is that better? Okay. All right. But I mean, what a year it's been, right? What a wild year. And I mean, none of us saw this coming, right? But I believe if ever we as women of God need to wake up, need to stop yawning, need to get off our lazy boy recliners, whatever you want to call it, and move from complacency to godly action, I believe it's now. You know, like it's just a hard time. Because if ever our world needed help, it's now. Our world needs hope. Our world needs Jesus, and our world needs to see Christianity in action. If ever we need to walk in step with the Spirit and be women who intercede in prayer, it's now. If ever we need to reach out to lost and hurting people around us, it's now. And if ever we need to rise up and really encourage each other as fellow Christians to stay in the fight, to keep the faith, I believe it's now. So there are many areas that we could look at, obviously, that, you know, the Lord is probably like nudging us and pushing us, saying, come on, I want to grow you. I want you to do more than where you're at and move out of complacency. There's many areas, right? And there's no way in one weekend we can cover them all. So we're just going to touch on three this weekend. Tonight it's prayer. Tomorrow morning it'll be encouragement. It's a slight change on from your schedule. And then in the afternoon, compassion and evangelism. So I'm going to speak to you on what the Lord's been teaching me through his word. That's what I get really excited about, really passionate about. And I will be sharing a lot of true stories. And in Christian language, we call those testimonies, right? And in Revelation, it says that we as Christians overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So I feel like it's really important that we do that. And I want your faith this weekend to grow. Like, I want you to believe that God has something more for you than even what you're experiencing now. So that's my prayer for you, ladies. And I don't want you to hear, I mean, you will hear me, obviously, but I don't want you to think that Sandy is so amazing. I am just an ordinary woman, like really, truly. But what I am here to testify about is how God takes ordinary women, and when you really believe him and when you choose to step out of your little box and just obey him, he does great things. And then you have so much to testify about, and you have so much glory to give him. So I'm hoping that that can happen for all of us this weekend. Let's start with prayer before we go into the main session tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for tonight, for all these precious women who have put aside time to be here. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit will come in and touch each of their minds and their hearts, that they would hear from you and they would be so encouraged. Lord, that we could all leave here tonight saying, God, there is more for me, and I want that more. I want to move on into more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It was the 4th of July, and I needed a few more groceries. So I was just walking a couple blocks to our local grocery store, and about immediately when I got into the store, I heard this yelling going on in the store. And it was a mom yelling at her 5-year-old son. And I immediately thought, I should go pray for her. But I didn't. So I just stayed focused, just kept grocery shopping. And what do you know, we ended up in the same aisle. And the mom was still yelling at her son. So I knew I need to pray for this woman. So I said to her, excuse me, ma'am, would you mind if I pray for you? You seem really stressed out. And she was like, oh, please do. She's like, I'm about to be evicted from my apartment. And I'm like, I mean, that's a remedy for stress right there, right? And it was her and her 5-year-old son and a friend. So we were chatting a bit, and I prayed for her. And as soon as I got done, she's like, you pray different than anyone I've heard before. It's like, okay. And her son yelled, do it again! And I was like, okay. so this time, like, I knelt down and I just put my arms around him and I prayed over him. And so this is prayer number two. And I got done, and this time he yelled, "That felt so good." And it was just, it was such a moving time. And we stood in the aisle and we just kept talking. And in the middle of this, another lady comes down the aisle and she's like, "Excuse me, could you guys help me find the animal crackers?" And immediately I thought I should pray for her, but I'm like, no. So I just let it go. And so one of my new friends helped her find the animal crackers and we kept chatting. And it was a very powerful time. Like I was just pushing back the tears. I finally said goodbye, and I went to get in line to pay for my groceries. And as I was in line, I thought, I need to post this little situation, this little story on Facebook, because I'm like, people, like Christians everywhere need to be reminded that prayer is our calling, our powerful calling, and we need to be reminded so that we will develop consistent and effective prayer lives. So I paid for my groceries, and I thought, I walked over, and before I exited the door, I thought, I'll just quickly do this on my phone and put this on Facebook. So I'm on my phone, and who should walk up but Animal Cracker Lady? And no joke, and she's like, "Do you know where I could buy a big bag of animal crackers?" And I'm like, I mean, you would have thought I had this badge right here. "Hi, my name is Sandy, and I'm the queen of finding animal crackers." You know, like, when does this happen? So I'm like trying to like help her think, you know, what store in the Bronx she could find a big bag of animal crackers. And then I knew it. I mean, like, God is persistent. That's one thing I've learned in my 45 years. Like, God is persistent. And when he wants me to do something, he doesn't give up so easily. I knew it. I knew I was supposed to pray for her, and I quenched the spirit back in that line. So once we're done with animal crackers discussion, I said to her, "Would you mind if I pray for you?" And she was like, "Oh, yes." Like, she just readily agreed. And I found out she was a Christian, and she told me she was currently living in Brooklyn and trying to move to the Bronx and was looking for an apartment. And I went to pray for her, and it was just like the Spirit of God just came down, you know, right there in that moment. I was just weeping in the Spirit. And I left that grocery store, and the words, the scripture that came through my head was this. It was from Luke 4:18 that says, "The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And I texted Rich, and I was like, "Read my Facebook page, then you'll know I'm crying when I get home." So, and it would save me a little time too. Anyway, so I did. I went on with my day, and it was like that afternoon. All of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh, all week I've been meaning to call this new young lady that came to our book study the week before, because I just all week long thought I need to call her, I need to pray for her, and I just kept pushing it up." So I was out on the sidewalk again. I thought, I'm just going to call her quick. I was like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And she's like, "I am not doing well. I need prayer." And I'm like, "Wow, okay, that's why I called, you know?" And I'm like, "Well, what's going on?" And she proceeded to tell me that she was dealing with suicidal thoughts, etc. You know, ladies, truly, intercessory prayer is our calling. And it's a powerful calling. Like, it's very powerful. James 5:16 says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and active," as you can see right here. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." So intercessory prayer is our powerful calling, and that's why we need to develop an effective and consistent prayer life. So to me, intercessory prayer kind of has two faces, as it were, just simple. And the first one we'll look at is praying privately. And when you look at the life of Jesus, we know that he withdrew to a quiet place. He got away from all the business, all the people, and he prayed. Matthew 6:5-8 speaks about praying in secret, you know, the closet prayer meetings. And for me, this usually happens first thing in the morning. I mean, the first thing I do is go put on the coffee maker. I get my mug of coffee, and then it's me and the Lord. I just like it quiet. And this private prayer time can include, like, the long-term commitments, if you know what I mean. It can include the wrestling in prayer. To me, this is often where it can be hard, it can be long, it can be tough. Those long prayer assignments where you are really just interceding for someone. And in the year 2018, I sensed the Lord telling me that I was supposed to pray for my husband, Rich, 10 minutes a day. Now, I don't know, maybe for you that's simple, but for me, I found it was actually kind of tough. So what I learned to do is I would take my phone, and this might sound legalistic, but it helped me. I would set the timer for 10 minutes, because that way, I would stop looking at the clock, which is very distracting, okay? And that was my time just to focus on him and pray. And one thing that helped me, because for me, 10 minutes on one person can feel a little long, is I got into these scripture prayer cards, and I bought a bunch. I have them up here afterwards. You guys are welcome to come and help yourself to as many as you want. But I love these things. Like, I use these for my kids. Some of these are like scriptures for your husband. Some are for your kids. Some are for yourself from Colossians, which are powerful. But I'll just pray them for my family, for my friends, whatever. It's just been a great guide for me when I feel like the Lord is saying, pray a lot for this person, Sandy. Really zone in. And so I just love praying scripture. You cannot go wrong for praying for people. So help yourselves to these. So anyway, I was doing that. I got to August of that year, and I remember the morning I was praying for Rich, and it hit me. I thought, wait a minute, I think his prayer life has changed this year. And I'm like, could it be that God has used, you know, all these many days of praying all this long for him and amped up his prayer life? And like, that's really exciting, you know, to think that, yes, God is doing, he asked me to do this, and now he's blessing it and he's using it. And fast forward to the next year, and I promise you, my husband passed me up in my prayer life. Like, he left me in the dust. We moved to the Bronx to start a new church, and he, along with two other brothers, would two mornings a week, they would get up at 4:30 in the morning to pray together. And then on Sunday, I would tease him. I would joke, and I'm like, yeah, you sleep in on Sunday. They would start praying at 6 on Sunday. <You know? laughs> Anyway, and then almost every day, Rich would do a prayer walk on Corsa Avenue. That is our block. And he walks really fast. He's a runner, and he walks fast. He would pray all the way down Corsa and then all the way back up and just pray for all the people. You know, even though he didn't know many of them by name, like, that's what he would do. And he had some really powerful things that came out of that when the Holy Spirit would nudge him, pray for the person that lives in this building, even though he wouldn't know, you know, the person. But anyway, that would take him 20 minutes, and he walks fast. And so he was doing that almost every day. And I was just like, wow, God, you used my prayers, and you did that for him? It was really exciting. Now, moving on to a different face of intercessory prayer, looking at praying publicly. Acts 16:25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And I love that, because that tells me that they were not embarrassed. I mean, they weren't like whispering, obviously. It says everyone could hear them, you know. And they were just worshiping God and praying publicly, and God used it. Acts 1:14 says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So there you see that there's power in numbers. They got a lot of people together to pray. So public prayer can look differently, right? It can be as simple as like a one-time praying for a complete stranger that you meet while shopping or whatever. And for me, those are the easy ones. Those are the ones I just love. You know, like when I just sense the Lord saying to me, like in that grocery store that day, go pray. And like, I was like, I wasn't very willing that day, but the Lord wouldn't let me go. You know, he got me to pray for both women. But those are so fun and refreshing. You just go and you bless them. The Lord shows you what to pray for. You wish them well. You get to enter into doing ministry with God, and you leave, you know? it can be just different things. I remember we were doing house church right after we had moved to the Bronx, and a couple had come visiting from Boston. And somewhere in the course of the evening, the meal or something, she came up to me. She's like, I'm really not feeling well. Could I go lay down somewhere? I said, sure. I remember thinking, man, I've got to pray for her. But I was just enjoying all the other guests and having a good time, and I never got there. Eventually, she came back and joined the whole group. So I just went and sat next to her on the couch, and we were just having a nice conversation. And she hadn't been a Christian real long. But I knew she hadn't been feeling good, so I was just like, could I pray for you about that? She said, sure. And it was the most, like, I don't mean to sound like sacrilegious or something, but it was a very undramatic prayer, if you know what I mean. I just simply prayed for her, and that was it. And we kept talking. You know, I just asked the Lord to heal her. And we kept talking. All of a sudden, she goes, it's gone. It's gone. I feel better. And I was just like, wow. Thank you, God. You know, it's so exciting because God calls us to do this. Like, scripture is just full of verses asking us to pray, you know, all the time, different ways. I'm not doing the work. That's why I can tell you about this. It's not me doing the work. It's just me doing what God asked me to do, and He does the work. And I just am honored to be a part of it, you know, to get in on it. And it's just exciting. Public prayer can be picking up the phone and just calling your friend and praying with her over the phone. It can be in the church parking lot on Sunday when your friend shares all that she's going through. And if you're like me, sometimes I don't even know what to say. You know, when someone's going through a hard time and they pour out your heart to you, I don't always have the answers. But the awesome thing about saying, can I pray for you, is it brings God right down into the equation. And it does something, you know, because the Lord is so present and alive and active, and they're ministered to, and you're asking Him to do the work. And when your friends, you know, pour out their hearts to you, don't say, I'll be praying for you this week. I mean, that's great. You should be praying for her that week. But pray for her then, because for one thing, we might forget. I have a bad memory. I might forget, you know. I really need the Holy Spirit. He reminds me of a lot of things. But pray for her right then. Public prayer can be finding several other women and saying, I just need to do more interceding. Can you join me? You know, it can be, and you can do that on the phone. You can do that. There's all different ways, right? But powerful. I have just had such encouraging times by getting together with other women and praying. Intercessory prayer takes perseverance. Like, it's hard work. Tipping the prayer bowls of heaven. I just have one. Revelation talks plural. It says prayer bowls. This comes from the book of Revelation, and it's from the book Intercessory Prayer that I read by Dutch Sheets. I want to read the scriptures where it talks about the prayer bowls of heaven, the golden prayer bowls. It's Revelation 5:8, if you want to turn to it. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Isn't that beautiful? When you're praying, think about these golden prayer bowls in heaven and how God is collecting our prayers and putting them in the prayer bowls. And then if you move on to Revelation 8, verses 3 to 5, it says, and another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Isn't that awesome? So according to these verses, either when God knows it's the right time for something to happen, or when enough prayer has been accumulated to get the job done, He releases His power. He takes the bowl, He mixes it with fire, from the altar. And that's when, you know, we see this action on earth, right? We see God moving and doing things before us. So awesome. But the sad reality is that sometimes God cannot do what we have asked because we have not given him enough power in our prayer times to get it done. And so, like, there again, it's not us doing the work, it's God. But he asks us to pray. And it says that our prayers are being collected and he mixes his fire, his power with it. And then we see the action happening. So just, the Lord had given me a fresh prayer assignment for this year, one of my kids, to pray for 10 minutes. You know, I sensed I was done for praying that much for my husband. And one day the Holy Spirit said, now it's for this one, Sandy. And I hadn't been seeing the results this year I wanted to see. But recently something happened 3 weeks ago, and as I just sat there praying, I was like, okay, God, I feel like, you know, you've been collecting all my prayers this year for this child, and maybe now it's time. You're mixing your fire, and you are pouring it out, and I'm seeing you work now, you know? So intercessory prayer takes perseverance, even when you don't see God doing what you've been asking him to do. You keep going. And honestly, ladies, this year of 2020 has been the hardest year in a long time for me, where I have not had God answer many of my prayers in the way I have asked him. But it has not deterred my faith. He hasn't shown me why yet, why he did not answer some of those. I'll be telling you some about that tomorrow. But I know I'm called to be a woman of intercession. And even if this year it's taking longer for the prayer bowls to be filled, whatever, I know I'm still called to pray, and it's the right thing, and my faith has not been shaken, I guess you could say, because of that, even though it's hard. So I'm speaking from experience. You know, like, I'm giving you some great testimonies, but I'm also telling you I know what it's like to labor in prayer for a long time and be waiting on the Lord to move. Excuse me. I am fighting a sore throat a little bit. So you're going to have to bear with me just a little bit. A big key I have found in this is listening to the Holy Spirit. And he's our counselor, as the word says. He's our teacher. He's our guide. And he can tell us who to pray for, when to pray for them, and how to pray for them, which to me is so refreshing. It's not like a performance. It's not like I've got to get this together. You know, like, as I just try to listen and walk closely with him, he will guide me. Now, some, you know, like, if the thought comes to you, go pray for that person. One thing I can assure you, it is not Satan telling you to do that. You know how we can be like, I don't know, God, that's a little outside the box, you know. But let me tell you, Satan won't be telling you to go pray for someone. So don't, like, waste a lot of time on that thought. We check that one off now. And if you're like me and sometimes you don't obey, I've learned God is persistent. And he'll be like, Sandy, I'm going to get you coming or going. You know, like, this girl's going to find you. And you're going to pray for her this time. And if I don't, I not only does that person miss out on the blessing, but I miss out on the blessing. And so I don't want to miss it. Sometimes when God tells me to pray for someone, it's this just a gentle thought. It's just a gentle nudge. And sometimes it's dramatic. You know, you can't put God in a box, right? We see that in scripture, how he speaks to us. I remember one Sunday, it was when we still lived in Brooklyn, and I just sensed on the way to church that the Lord was going to do something, and he had something good coming that morning. And so I was really like, I was waiting. You know, like when you're looking around every corner, Lord, is it this? What are you going to do today? This is great. All through the service, I was like, Lord, is it something in the worship? Nope, it wasn't. Something in the sermon? Nope, it wasn't in the sermon. We went into testimony time, and I knew it. And it got so intense. Like, I was like, you're going to get this one, Sandy. You're going to listen to me. All of a sudden, I was like, I'm supposed to pray for someone, aren't I? And this one man stood up to give a testimony. And I knew it, like I was almost physically shaking. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey. I'm going to, I get this. And I was, Rich had to go off and do something to help someone. But I was like, I will obey you, Lord. Because I was sitting there, it was so dramatic. I was just like this, you know. So as soon as we were dismissed, I just went and got another brother. I'm like, I really sense I'm supposed to pray for him. You want to come with me? So he's like, sure. So we went up to this guy, and I just said, I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. And what do you think he did? He, like, proceeded to tell me all his sins of the week. Like, no joke. He just went into a long confession how he had been drinking, and he had been doing all this stuff, and I'm just like, I mean, I knew I had heard correctly, but the Lord wanted me to go pray for him. All of a sudden, he stops and he goes, who told you all this? And I'm like, the Holy Spirit? I mean, he's the one confessing everything. I didn't even ask him. Come on, you know, that's fine. You know, the Lord does his thing. But I just share that story to tell you, don't be surprised at how God wants to communicate or how he will. But sometimes it's just a very small, gentle thought when the Lord is nudging me. And one day I had gotten home and I parked on our street and I saw my neighbor, like we're in row houses, so they're all connected, this whole block, and she's about five doors down. And I saw her sitting in her vehicle, and at that point I didn't know her very well. All I knew is that she loves to shop, she loves to share, she brings me bags of her wonderful clothes from her boys, we're thrilled, and she has four boys and she's pregnant again. And I just sensed I was supposed to stop and say hi. And I thought, no, I don't want to say hi. I love people, but that day, I just wanted to mind my own business and get home. But I knew it. So I'm like, just go, Sandy. So I went over to the vehicle, and it was her and her husband and the four boys. They were all in the vehicle. She rolled down the window, and I'm like, hey, how's your baby doing? And I'm like patting her belly, and it's culturally acceptable, by the way, in my culture there. And it was the Lord, because I patted her belly and asked how the baby was, and she goes, actually, I just lost the baby yesterday. And I'm like, I am so sorry. And I've had a stillborn daughter, so I can understand that pain, you know. So I proceeded to talk with her, and I prayed for her, and then we parted ways. And the next week, I thought, I need to go check on her. So I baked a fresh coffee cake, and I just ran down to her door and rang the doorbell to see how she was doing. And she was like, thank you so much for that prayer last week. And she said, you know what? We were just sitting there in our car. She said, we never just sit there. She said, the only time we just sit there. I mean, they were already, you know, they're buckled. They're just sitting there. Who does that in New York? Everyone's hurt in a hurry, you know? And she's like, the only time we just sit there is when we need to warm up the vehicle in the winter or something. And I knew it. You know, like, that was the Lord. And I didn't have to be, if you want to say, prepared. You know what I'm saying? Like, all I had to do was listen to him speak and then obey him. Because when I got there, he told me what to say. You know what I'm saying? To talk about the baby, which would lead her to open up. And, like, that's how good God is. He is so faithful. And he wants to speak to us. And I found that the more I listen to him and the more I obey him, the more he keeps speaking. And it's awesome. It's a great way to live. It's a really exciting way to live. Now, I've had very few times where I've walked up to someone and said, could I pray for you? Where they've turned me down. But I was really like, the Lord was just really doing this gentle push on me with a thought. It was a very undramatic time in my prayer life, but that's how he was speaking to me. Or I should say, not an undramatic time in my prayer life, it was undramatic in how he would nudge me. So I was getting used to that, and I'm like, okay, God, I know how you're communicating to me now. I'm going to listen, I'm going to obey. So I was at a local park in the Bronx where one of our teenage sons was playing basketball. And we were just standing there, and I noticed there were just a few guys just about like over here where this table is doing drugs. And it just came to me, Sandy, you should go pray for them. And now, like, I am not a fearful person. Like, I don't get afraid that easily. I was like, Really? You know, okay, though, I'm learning, God. I'm not going to disobey. So I just went over, and I was like, excuse me, would you mind if I would pray for you? And he was like, yeah, I would, actually. So I was like, okay, you know, I was going to respect that. And so we ended up, we talked about spiritual things. And I think maybe Rich came over at some point in the conversation. We walked away. But you know what? I did not feel defeated. Because I was like, it's okay. The important thing is that I am obeying what God has called me to do. And maybe even the offering to pray for him and to ask him some questions, God was going to use that. Like, it's not about getting the perfect results every time. Because God is God, I am not. I don't know what God is up to all the time, right? The important thing is that I'm obeying. And so I didn't feel defeated that day. It's all right. At least I didn't walk away thinking, I should have walked up to him and offered to pray for him and talk to him about the Lord, and I didn't. So who knows what's going on with him. Now bringing this practically home for you, what will you do to take steps to enter into this powerful calling that God has clearly called all of us as Christians into? And what can you do to start this consistent and effective prayer life? So I'm going to ask you to look at a couple specific things, because if you aim for nothing, you will hit it every time, right? So we can't aim for nothing. So choose one person that you will intercede for daily for X amount of minutes. And you know, that's going to be between you and the Lord, you know. But just even if it may be, if nothing has come to you tonight, that's fine. But ask the Lord, God, is there someone in my life? It could be a friend, a coworker, someone in church, your husband, your kids, your mom, whoever. And just ask him. He would really like to answer that prayer for you and tell you who it is and how much you to intercede for them each day. And then make it a goal to pray for one, like, stranger or a person once a week, like the in the public prayer thing or whatever. If that feels too daunting to start with, that's fine. But just like, Lord, I want to start blessing people and touching them for your glory. And I believe from your word, you've called me to have, you know, a powerful prayer life. So ask God each day, even, Lord, who is it you want me to pray for? I often pray that in the morning. Actually, this is what I tell him. I say, Lord, I'm going to obey you today. Like, that sounds elementary. I mean, as moms, I mean, wouldn't we all want all our kids every morning to be like, I'm going to obey you today, Mom? You know, like, so I feel like that makes God pretty happy. And I just say, you know, by your grace, I'm going to do whatever you're going to ask me to do today, Lord. I will pray for whoever you ask me to pray for. If you give me a word for someone, I will give that to them. If you, whatever, Lord, I just put myself out there and surrender. And then I just wait to see what he brings. And it's really exciting. And it actually takes a lot of pressure off of me, because I don't have to be like, whoa, planning my day, you know, and what am I supposed to do today? Yeah, we have our plans, obviously. I'm a big day planner person. But just bringing yourself under that submission to God and say, whatever you ask me to do today, Lord, I'm going to obey you. So who is it you want me to pray for today? And it's exciting. It's really powerful. And then find someone. I'm sorry, let me back up. Start praying with at least one other person weekly if you can. It can be over the phone. We're blessed with technology. You know, it can be in person. It can be walking together. You can kill two birds with one stone. You can get your exercise and you can prayer walk. I mean, I love that. That's a great thing to do. Whatever. But just like push forward and start meeting with someone. That brings a lot of oomph to it, accountability. And then ask someone to hold you accountable. Once you've discerned from the Lord what it is he is calling you to develop a more effective and powerful prayer life, then tell a friend or a family member, say, this is what I want to start doing. Can you hold me accountable? Can you occasionally ask me if I'm doing this? A couple years ago, I had made a new friend in a new state, and we just enjoyed praying together. And I said to her, you know, you really should find another woman that you could do this with on a more consistent, a more regular basis. She's like, yeah, I want to do this. A year later, she texted me, and she's like, Sandy, I did it. I got together with another friend. We prayed. It was great and everything. And I was like, that's great. That's awesome. But, I mean, I didn't say this to her. But I was like, a year later? Ladies, it's not that complicated. Like, let me tell you, it's not. And if it takes a whole year for us to decide, I'm going to get together with one other woman to pray, I mean, may I just kindly suggest that maybe our schedules are too full? Or maybe they are, like, maybe something in our schedule needs to be shifted and rearranged so we can get it done? Because I just personally have come to, like, if I don't have enough time to pray, then I'm probably doing something that Jesus doesn't want me to do, because I feel like it's that important. And, you know, as women, we might feel like, I'm just a woman. And I hope no one feels that way. I hope you're excited about being a woman of God. But I feel like prayer is something that God has called us to that is amazing. It's a place where we find our voice. And like even what happened that day in that service where the Spirit of God just came over me and was like, it's him, Sandy, you've got to go pray for this man. And he was a big guy, you know. I mean, I might be just a woman, but it was so exciting to be used by God to minister to him. You know what I'm saying? And we've got to get a hold of that. It's a powerful calling. And we've got to find a way to do it. Otherwise, we are missing out. And other people are missing out. It's a lose-lose if we can't engage and get involved in this. So I just want to bless you ladies for who you are. I believe that I am looking tonight at a room full of ladies who are talented, who are hardworking, who are self-disciplined. I believe you're creative. I believe there's so many good points about you. And I mean, honestly, I hardly know any of you, but I don't know you personally, but I believe there's a lot of good energy in this room and a lot of good things in you women. And wouldn't it be awesome as Anabaptist women, if we would become known as women who pray? You know, if like, not only would we be known as hardworking women, but if people would be like, those women know how to pray. They are in tune with the Holy Spirit and they know how to intercede. And I just want to encourage you that you can be a culture changer. Like you can create a culture of prayer within your Mennonite culture. Like it is doable and it's exciting. And I think when that happens, you'll be so excited. I mean, maybe you're already there. And if you are, I bless you. Keep it up. Encourage more women to come along with you. Intercessory prayer is your powerful calling. So you need to develop an effective and a consistent prayer life. So in closing, I just want you to, you know, grab a woman next to you, and you pray something for her, and she prays for you, and then I'll hand it back over to the committee. If you want to, like, if the Lord specifically spoke to you tonight about something and you want to share that, that's fine. I would just encourage you, though, keep the prayer request short, and the prayer is bigger. All right? God bless you, ladies.